Praise God, church. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here today. I think I'd be more excited if I was down there with you guys, but God is good. I will tell you, me being here today is a prophetic word that was spoken 29 years ago. And I'm going to hopefully get that out as I share today this message that the Lord has given me and I prepared. As we continue to stay in His Spirit, let us. I do have a couple of things. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go right to the scripture context, and then we can get a little business taken care of here. But the text in which we're at, which you all know, if you remember, we've had a lot going on this year, praise God, but we do have, we're still in the Beatitudes, Go and Be series from the Pastor already started well over a month ago, I believe, but with a lot of things that God has been doing in and through us, we've had some starts and stops. But I would like to share Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10, just to give us the whole view of what the Beatitudes are right now. So start at verse 3 in chapter 5. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And today I'm going to be sharing in the fourth part of this lesson series, and we are going to skip one of them, and I think Pastor Ray's going to come back to that. But I just want to thank you, Zach. Thanks, Zach, for assisting us, and all the worship team. It is, as Pastor Eddie says a lot, I love my church. It's so awesome to be here today with you as a blood-bought believer and brother in Christ to you guys. This church is amazing to be able to be in this situation right now. And kind of jokingly, it's kind of like the Glitzes took over from the Markhams today, because my son and daughter-in-law were up here doing the announcements and I'm preaching, so... But I do want to give honor and praise and thanks to Pastor Eddie and Sister Melinda, Pastor Steve and Sister Lindsay, and Pastor Paul and Sister Mary Markham for allowing me this honor to be able to share with you today. It is just an awesome thing to be a child of God, isn't it? Isn't it? There's nothing greater. And, you know, I do want to share a little bit about, you know, who I am. You know, like I greeted you, and it, just a little encouragement here. I can tell you 32 years ago, God got a hold of me and started changing my life. And one of the biggest steps is people of God coming and introducing themselves to me and greeting each other. And I just want to encourage you all. I love doing that now. It's something God really has blessed me with is to go and talk to people, especially people that I may not know that well. And because it really softened my heart to change my life and brings me here today in that. And I want to encourage all of you, if you're like I used to be shy and reserved and reframed. I would never, ever approach anybody. I would probably be one of the last guys in the back of the church, because I wanted to get in and get out. And there's Brother Kenny, I love you, man. but, you know, if you want to talk to somebody, if you're in that place, I invite you, if you haven't met me personally, come get in my face and say hi. And I'll encourage the rest of you, if there's somebody you don't know, go and say hi. I'm brother or sister so-and-so, and Brother Gary told me to do this. So you can say it's my fault. So. But let me tell you, just the community of faith changes you. And if we do what God tells us in the New Testament, we're encouraged to encourage and to push and strive for better as we do this together. And that's, you know, why I'm here. It's an amazing to see we don't miss a beat in this church because of our leadership. They train, amen, amen. They train, equip, they encourage us all to step out in faith. And you don't get that just anywhere. And we are blessed, and we need to be very, very thankful to God, because it isn't like that and everywhere you go. I can tell you that from where I've come from, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that right now, I am a grateful believer in Christ, a man who's been delivered from alcohol and many other struggles and strongholds in my life. That's my C.R. Larn, so just so some of you that might know that. My name is Gary, and it's because we have likeness. We all have something in our life that is trying to pull us away from our Father. And whether you're in the middle of that or you're being redeemed, praise God, God's working at us, and he wants to, and he desires to have a relationship with us and change us and use us. And it's just a wonderful walk. But I can tell you, 32 years ago, my beautiful woman of God wife, Mary, took a stand in our failing marriage. Just a little brief little testimony. And she left. She didn't leave me. She didn't leave our marriage. But she left the church the church that I grew up in. Because we were going to the same church that I was growing up in. And it was a very religious kind of atmosphere for me. I just went to church every Sunday. And so she left because she had a pull. Our marriage was not good. We had two young little children at that time. And she had a pull at her heart that she needed to go back to something that she remembered when she was a little girl. A church that was spirit-filled, evangelical, and Bible-based. And so she did that. And she did that without being able to take our kids with us, because our kids were set in the church that I was going to, that I was raised in. And she did that all alone. She didn't browbeat me. She didn't argue with me. Actually, we argued about everything else but that. You know, yeah. But she took that step, and that little step of faith, she went and got together with those Pentecostal believers, praise God, and they started praying. They started praying for me. And going back to what I was talking about greeting people and that, when I decided to allow myself and the children to go to church with her one time, and it was gonna only be one time, right? those people, those holy rollers, hand lifters and singers, they just welcomed me and accepted me. And it changed me. It really did. And I wasn't perfect. Oh boy, I was not perfect. And I'm not perfect now, but I'm a lot better. I'm a lot closer to where I should be, where we need to be pointing, where we are. But that little step of faith that she took. And today, as we go into this series, I want you to remember that, because it's part of that. Well, actually, that was the beginning of God really drawing me in and changing me. And it's all about what we're going to be talking about today, which is mercy. I do have to, I think, take care of a couple of things business-wise. We did not take offering, so let me step back for a second, put on my deacon hat, and just encourage you that there are all those ways to pay your tithes and bless the God's kingdom and what he's doing here, either online, and you can do it in person. The ushers will have the baskets in the back, and we will, and there's also a little slot thingamajig back there that you can give your offering in, and we thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and we bless you, and we ask God to continue to provide for all of us, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let me put my men's ministry hat on. This is who I am, people. So, and God's really did give me a message. And it's, I'm telling you, I'm not going to have you here for more than an hour and a half, 2 hours. So, but if anybody knows me, it knows that I like to get business done. But when I'm talking about God, it's like everything changes in me. And when the Lord's word is here, we just have to be faithful. But with the men's ministry, the golf outing is Saturday, so let's hear it for the golf outing. We want to encourage you. Hallelujah. You men, it is going to be an early start, so we're going to be opening. The course will open at, we'll be taking check-in at 7:15 a.m. at Pineview in Ypsilanti, and we will be expecting to be on the course golfing by about 8:05. So just so those of you guys, if you have any questions, you can see me. I don't know if Jeremy's going to be available a little bit after service, but I will be if you need to talk to me about that. And if you're still wanting to golf, we probably have room for you too. But today's the definite last day. Amen. Amen. The other thing, I'm trying to think now. And we are also working on a guns range event coming up in early September. But amen. Amen. So today we're going to be getting into the beatitude of mercy. Go and be merciful. The scripture verse comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. So like I said, let's go and be merciful. What was really speaking to my heart was this lifestyle of mercy. Amen. Amen. And with that, I wanted to define those words just so we can kind of really look at it as a whole, give us a chance to think about what does he mean by lifestyle of mercy. So in defining it, lifestyle is, can be considered your existence, your routine, your life, your regimen, your way of life, your daily life, and or your standard of living. Looking at merciful, it's when you're kind, lenient, humane, sympathetic, forgiving, gracious, understanding, forbearing, and benevolent. And then again, a way of looking at mercy is having compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within God's power to punish or harm them, which means somebody that deserves punishment, but yet we are forgiving just as God is forgiving on us. And a key thing with this is the opposite of mercy is cruelty. And it's, I want to look at that specifically today as far as the difference between the two, and really the text that really spoke to me as I was preparing this and just sticks with me continuously is Galatians 5, 16 through 20, 25 and 26, walking in the Spirit. So let's look at this here. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a battle going on there. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And this might be a common scripture for some people, because it gets right into the fruits, which we're going to talk about in a second here. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if I stop right there, I want to tell you, the ministry that we do at Celebrate Recovery deals with every single one of those. So it's not just what you would think is your normal addictions that people can kind of identify with recovery. We deal with everything that would separate us from God. And that's what comes out of all those things. I am certain that each and every one of us can identify with those things in our life at one time or another, if not currently. There's a lot there. A lot there. And that's where we are without Christ, right? But we go on to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So if you look at the difference there, and this is where I want us to look at that. You've got mercy, the fruits of the Spirit, and you've got cruelty, which are the works of the flesh. That's the battle that every single person in this world has. And those of us that are believers, the enemy keeps coming at us with those kind of temptations and struggles. But yet, the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, as I move on, I just want to have you keep this in mind. For me personally, it was mercy. Mercy that drew me in. It was mercy that started working on my life continuously. So we have to look at it and say, well, what is different about my lifestyle? When I think of lifestyle, sometimes it's like, well, what culture are we from? What were we raised in? Who taught us how to grow up and live? What were we exposed to? What's our habits? You know, the way that we live our life. That's our lifestyle. And even though we're professed believers, I had 27 years of living my life the way that I learned from home. Yeah, we went to church, but outside of that Sunday or Saturday night service we'd sometimes go to, it was just whatever we wanted to do. And, you know, my parents were in their own way loving and provided for us, but there was a lot of faults there. And it poured into me and developed me into that man that now when I look back, I don't even recognize him, praise God. Because I can't believe that that's the way I was. But mercy causes me not to feel guilt. Because it's not me. Yeah, Gary Glitz was that man. Shame on him. But I am a child of God. I've been redeemed. And he has made me whole. And so are you. Hallelujah. Let's look at some verses regarding mercy. There's several, but I picked out a few here. Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Proverbs 11:17 says, "A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself." We could stop right there and just kind of look. That's what we're talking about here. If we are kind, if we are merciful, if we have that spirit within us, it's going to benefit us. It's not going to be bad. You know, just to speak a little bit about that, sometimes when you have to accept somebody's apology, even though you want them to know that you were wrong, just accept it. Forgiveness. It'll benefit you. We don't have to hold on to that because you know what? We'll get into that. But the other part is cruelty brings about chaos and trouble in our life, no matter what you might think. It's going to do that, even if you're right. But if you have hatred and discouragement in your heart, it's not going to bring any good fruits out. It's not going to benefit you or the people that are in your life. That's where I was. Amen. Colossians 3:12 and 13 say, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive any complaint you may have against someone else. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Amen. Just let's let the word sink in because that's what we're supposed to be. And we honor God. And if God's honored, he's going to bless us because he's faithful to his truths. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God?" Love mercy. Act justly. Walk humbly. We don't have to be right. God's right. Amen? And that's the truth. That's all we have to hold on to. Matthew 9:13. but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, which is a tough one, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So it's not about what we do. Volunteering, assisting is all good stuff. But he desires us to do it with the right heart. And then look on the compassion of people that maybe we wouldn't necessarily want to look on, because they're still his people. Hallelujah. There's many examples in the Bible. Joseph, Moses, Jesus, Ruth, David, the prodigal son, the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, Jonah and Daniel, just to name a few. And specifically, if you look at Joseph, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and yet later forgave them when he had a chance to come down hard on them. But he knew what God had done in his life. God had delivered him, even though he was still imprisoned. And if you know the story, it's a long journey for Joseph, but yet God was still there and sustained him all the way to the point where he had authority and the ability to either crush his brothers and his family, because they were in a dire famine back then. And he had control over all the storages of food. And yet he loved them, welcomed them in, and forgave them with a merciful heart. And stories like that are why we're here today. You can look at Ruth, which we did a study on Ruth. Ruth's loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, even in hardship, exemplifies mercy and compassion. The prodigal son, the father's unconditional love and forgiveness towards his wayward son, that highlights God's boundless mercy. And we all have children. Not we all do. A lot of us have children. I have children and grandchildren, and they put us to the test sometimes, and our relatives do, and people that wrong us or maybe, you know, go the other way. But we have to be willing to receive them back, because it's not about us. It's about God and his mercy. And the woman at the well, I think this is a very important one to look at, because Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman demonstrates his willingness to extend mercy to those marginalized by society. And to me, that speaks a lot of how there's this separation and division, whether it be political or cultural or race and stuff like that. Jesus set the standard there, because, you know, one thing is a man should never be talking to a single man and a single woman alone like that. And it was a Jewish person and a Samaritan, which they did not like each other, and they weren't supposed to intermingle. But yet Jesus said, it doesn't matter. My mercy and grace is sufficient enough for you. That's the heart that we should desire, that heart of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's my setup. I told you it might not go too long, but we'll see what happens here. Because here we go. I have 3 points, 3 aspects of mercy I want to discuss with you, and then we will have communion at the end, I promise you. So first, let's look at the number. We have reciprocal aspect, the multiplicative aspect, and the communal aspect. And the first one, the reciprocal aspect, that's the give and take, and it's the shared one. We'll look at it that way. So that's when, you know, you're at that place where you have the ability to take what you've been given and give it out. And for us, for as believers, I can tell you right now, God's mercy came into me, right? He came into each and every one of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it was by his mercy, his grace, which is unmerited favor, and his mercy came in and cleared the deck of our sins because of what Jesus Christ did. So we receive that, right? But the reciprocal part about that means that we have to share it. And let me just stop there for a moment and talk about what happened in my life, going back to that story. You see, when he moved in my wife's life and changed me and drew me in, you know, I can look back and I can tell you what I was thinking, because that religion that I was raised in, I was never going to change, and I thought everybody else was wrong. But when she took that stand, and our marriage was miserable, when she took that stand, a little bit of my heart cracked. And I'll just say this, let God in, because he took me and broke me wide open and turned me upside down, and I'm thankful that he did that, because he gave me faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So when that happened, you know, I had a lot of garbage. We all do. But when that happened, I started going to that church. We went that one time. We never went back to the other church. That little Italian pastor at that new church, and that was the last church we attended for 23 years before we came here 8 years ago. And he came, put his face in my face like I was telling you to do with me, and he invited himself to my house. You came to my church, I'm coming to your house. So he came over, and we had this whole debate at my house. Here I am with the founding pastor, kind of like Pastor Paul, the founding pastor of that church, and I'm telling him why my way of practicing my faith and my religion, which he came out of the same way I did, and we kind of left it there. But you know what? I know God's mercy was going, because those people, she continued to go to church faithfully Wednesdays, Sunday nights. Back then we had probably 4 or 5 different ways of connecting with the body. We'd go Sunday nights. You had 2 services in the mornings and Wednesdays. But so she started going. I kind of said, well, you know what? It was right around Easter, Mother's Day that year. And I thought, well, we'll just go until next fall to her church, because there's nothing going on for my kids, but I'll let this go. Never look back, because God got a hold of me and changed me. And within a year, a word was spoken by that same pastor about, unless you be born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, from John chapter 3, with that conversation with Nicodemus that Jesus had. And from my perspective, growing up, I thought born again was like a thing that those crazy Jesus freaks did. I didn't realize it was actually in the Word. You know, unfortunately, the church that I attended didn't tell me, didn't really teach me to read the Word. The first day I went to this new Pentecostal evangelical church, they said, if you don't believe me, read it for yourself. Amen. Right? So if you don't agree with me, check it out for yourself. That's where it's at. And our pastors are the same way here. So I gave my heart to the Lord. It wasn't a big altar call or anything like that. We just prayed the prayer at the end. And it was like right then, again, another step of mercy on my life I was given. And that continued to go on till about a year later. So we're talking in the spring of 1996. That's how long ago it was. And so what happened was, my brother-in-law and I decided, because I had started to really do Bible studies and stuff like that, Mary wanted to get prayed over to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know what, I've seen all this stuff, you know, going to church now for, you know, that kind of church for that time. Yeah, cool, I'll help them. You know, I prayed with them. Well, I got filled. Now, there's debates over the evidence of tongues and that stuff. The power of the Holy Spirit can touch you in many different ways. But when that happened to me, when God showed up and tangibly, physically touched me like that, I'm sorry, but you can't deny God's hand on your life when that happens. Amen? So whether it's that, or he knocks you out, or he speaks a word into you, when God does that, you can't deny that. So stay faithful, because that started. 2 months after that, again, we had these Sunday night services, and I was there. I started to go. God had already taken alcohol from me a few years before that, before I got saved, thank the Lord. But I had so much stuff going on, just habits and hang-ups that were not good. But his mercy was waiting there, because a message was spoken about dealing with, and this is really dealing with the merciful part here, the sharing it. Our pastor was talking about forgiving your parents for the way you were raised. you know, because I did. Now, my mom was a wonderful, loving, sweet woman. My dad, on the other hand, was kind of the opposite. He didn't go to church, and we'll just leave it there, but there was everything that I learned bad was from him. He was my father. So I learned how to be angry, mean, drink, do all this other stuff, and debauchery, I'd like to call it, because you just think of that. And so as I started to see how I had treated my wife and my kids, I was angry, because then I caught him doing that to my own daughter. And I made a stand, and I said, I'm never bringing her back here to see you alone like this again. Because it was like looking in the mirror of what I had become, what God was trying to pull out of me. But at the service, they said, people need to pray and forgive their parents. And I stood there like this, okay? I had started to kind of raise my hand, singing a little bit in church, but no, I wasn't going up there to this place here, which this is where God really moves, just so you guys know. That's why I'm always up here. Come join me sometime. But he waited to the end, prayed with people. He said, I believe there's one more person. We're going to close. So raised my hand. Like bees on honey, there was about 10, 12 people laying their hands all over me, touching me. Ooh, you know. And they prayed for me. And, you know, I dealt with that. I literally received it. And I went to my father and I told him, I forgive you for the things that I, the way that I was raised, and that I loved him. Instantly, things started changing. You know, amen. Amen. So let me just go back to that moment too, when the pastor was praying for me that specific time. He spoke a word over me and he said, because of your willingness to do this, God's going to elevate you. He's going to promote you, and you're going to speak before people. That's today. God, within a couple months, that church was growing like this church when we first came here. And thank you, brother. And within a couple months, one of the pastors showed up at my house and asked me to be the men's ministry leader. You're talking a couple years in getting saved, but I was 30 years old. Reminds me, it's just like Jesus, but, you know, but, you know, and I started, and I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, God blessed us, because that church had a younger pastor took over at that time, and he was developing this big team because the church was growing, but they were very, very good at training you in leadership, and it was spirit-led and evangelical, but the training that we got as leaders has, to this day, transformed my life and how to deal with people and how to manage and expect and really trust God when you're doing God's work. And so that mercy touched me, changed me, positioned me. But all the while, let me tell you, that was 1996. I still minister to men, but to this day. And God has continuously refined me. I was still caught up in hang-ups and habits. And I tell people at Celebrate Recovery when we teach that he can use you right now. Right? Because when he comes in and he saves us, he washes us clean, you're available. You don't have to attain anything else but his forgiveness and be used in mercy. Because that's where this took me. I went and forgave my dad. Now, all that stuff I was dealing with, then it became my turn to go and ask for forgiveness for the things that I had done, specifically with my wife and to our marriage and our family. And I had to do that. And believe me, there was things that I deserved punishment for. And yet, she was merciful without question. She was merciful. She encouraged me. We dealt with things together. And through that, again, it's another. Just like when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was even more powerful for me because it was tangible. This was the woman. that God placed in my life. And she was that merciful to me. That act of mercy made me start looking at people differently. My father, instead of looking at him as the way I described, I looked at him as being a lost soul, that one day when he was a child, something happened to him, and he needed a Savior. And let me fast forward just a little bit, and I'll close that part of the story. So that was 1996 that I went to my father. In 2006, my dad had gone in for heart surgery, and it didn't go well. They couldn't operate him because he had a lot of damage. He had lived a life of alcohol and smoking and stuff. So basically, they had to decide to pull the plug. But he was coming back and forth. He didn't want to live on a respirator and stuff like that. But the thing was, is we had a chance where he came coherent, because he was kind of in and out of like an induced coma. We each got to say goodbye to him because he knew this was coming. And on his deathbed, this man, with my wife standing next to me, I was able to lead my father to the Lord. And he gave his heart to God. That's God's mercy. Amen. He deserves all glory. Hallelujah. Excuse me. So you see how that works, the reciprocal part? When we start receiving from God, we should be positioning ourselves to give it, even in little ways, because that's how it works. I've been saved now for 32 years, something like that. It was like probably 1994 sometime. I don't remember the exact date. Not like Pastor Eddie. God bless him. November 7th, I think it is, because he said it so many times. I wish I could remember mine then. Hallelujah. And he was driving a truck, but praise God. We are blessed. We pray for your pastors, because their heart is always with us. And they have sealed this day with prayer, the leadership of the church today. Hallelujah. So let's look at the multiplicative part. And this is kind of a neat word. Probably some people are scared of that kind of a word, but if you look at it, it's actually a math term, but we're not going to go there because that'll get really, really deep and confusing. And I confuse myself looking at that. But the ripple effects, and it inspires more mercy. And how that works is when we are merciful to other people, it can be like you're throwing a stone in a stream or a lake, and the ripples just go out everywhere. So if you imagine that, and let me share this with you. This is my experience with that. So I'm God's called me to really minister to men since the beginning. When I first got saved, one of the leaders of the church brought me in. Him and another brother started doing Bible studies with me right away, which I was very, very ignorant to the word at that time. And then as I developed as a leader in the men's ministry there, God placed on my heart to do these accountability groups. And actually, a young man from the church had come to me and asked me to be his mentor. And I didn't even like the kid, but which means I had to do it, right? Mercy? So to this day, he still calls me his spiritual father. And so again, but what happened was we started doing these accountability groups. And it wasn't like you're... And nothing wrong with Bible studies and doing series and stuff like that. Those are all good too. But accountability means that you literally get to know somebody and you actually take value in who they are, and you start to be a part of their life. And so you take ownership over their spiritual well-being to a certain extent. So you get to know one another, you pray for one another, you share the word with each other, and you encourage each other through struggles and trials, strongholds, hurts, and habits and hang-ups in our lives. And so as we started doing that, we got inspired by God to create this ministry, which was basically creating more of those groups. Well, that's kind of hard to do when you're the only guy leading it, right? Well, the ripple effect happened is I would minister to like four or five guys at a time. They turned around and started ministering to four or five guys at a time. To the point, at one point, we had 10 of those groups, so we went from 5 to 50. Now, that's a multiplication. That's not adding one at a time. That's multiplying times 10. And that's how mercy can work. You can cast and you can touch somebody's life, and they can turn around and touch another person or two. They can turn around, and you think about that, that just, it spreads all out. That's what having that merciful lifestyle is all about. Looking at other people and saying, I want to encourage you. Even if you say hello, and I'm glad to see you, that is an encouragement for somebody. That mercy can ripple, and that person might have come into church today or might have crossed you at work and was about ready to go home and like unload on their spouse or their family because that's what they always do. But because of our little act of kindness and mercy and willingness to take time to minister or to share with somebody, it can touch the hearts of them, their family, their friends, their neighbors, and so on. Do you believe that? Amen. That's why we are called to do this. That lifestyle of mercy instead of the lifestyle of cruelty, which from Galatians, we read all those things. And believe me, I know what it's like to be coming out of those hurts, those habits, those hang-ups, the cultural lifestyle that you may have been brought up in and the people that are you surround with. But you've got to take one step at a time. And if you just do a couple merciful acts at a time, God will continue to change you and strengthen you to have faith enough to believe that you're moving forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're going to close my last point here, the communal part. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to take communion at the same time, right as we hit this point here. But I want to share on this because the communal part is kind of, it's an aspect that is public, collective, and it's equal and common. So when I'm looking out here at the church right now in the body of Christ here, we are equal because we all have one shared interest, and that's that our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can be encouraging and loving and caring and merciful unto each other. Taking the time to make that part of our life, make it our new habit, our new hang-up, is I'm gonna bless somebody's day today and say how glad I am to see you today. And I'm going to pray for you. And I love you, brother. I love you, sister. You look good today. You all look good today, by the way. Praise God. But that's what that's about. And it's a simple choice that we make to acknowledge that we come to church, you're not here isolated. You're part of the family of God. And within this local body, we are together, collectively believing in faith. And that is a given. That's what we are as part of the body of Christ. But the key thing here is, and I want to take a moment here to do as we do when we take communion, and it does, to me, it does really deal with the mercy, God's mercy on our lives. Because we're called and told to examine ourselves, to reflect on where we've at. And so as I ask the worship team, you guys can come up here and prepare. We should examine ourselves at this point because maybe there's things in your life, people that you need to forgive, people that you need to go and apologize to and make amends with. And I'll tell you, if it's a deep-seated hurt and it had to do with maybe abuse or anything like that, God will have a way for you. That's going to be my prayer. If God makes a way, whether it's in person or even spiritually, God's going to show you this is how you can be, and I'm going to say this, free from that entanglement. Because unforgiveness and animosity, it will take root as bitterness in our lives, and we can't have that. God can't be there. So I'm going to ask you to examine your hearts today. Ask God to help you to understand what it means to be merciful. That if there's people in your life that you need to forgive, that you're going to lay them at your feet, at the feet of Jesus. That you're going to believe that as Christ paid the price and God forgave us of our sins to make us his children, we can let go of that hurt. We can let go and forgive that person, that situation, and trust in the Lord to heal us. And we'll move forward. And if we need to apologize for the wrongs that we've done, first and foremost, you need to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ paid the price for what you've done. So lay it at the cross and believe that he's forgiven you. And then again, trust in God that he will give you the way to make amends to that wrong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. As we wait on God and look to God, I want to ask you, if you're at that place, if you're at that place where you need to be forgiven or you need to forgive, I want you to raise your hand. If you need to forgive somebody, or you need to be forgiven, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And I also want to make sure that I acknowledge this, that if you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's the first step. For me, that mercy that God gave me, that drew me in, began working on me, that's for you. If that's who you are right now, you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want us to pray this prayer together for those of us, no matter where you're at, just to recommit ourselves, to ask Jesus to forgive us, make us whole again, so that we can walk in mercy. So let's pray this prayer. Please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I've hurt people, and I've been hurt. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins, because you paid the price for me. I make you Lord of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that we are all equal with the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us take this moment to remember what Christ did for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if you could prepare the elements. If you don't have the elements, please raise your hands. The ushers can get them to you. Those at home also. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for paying the way. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and making us whole again. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I want to invite the altar team up here. If you've given your heart to the Lord for the first time, please come forward and see the altar. If you need any prayer, we are here for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We thank you for your mercy on our lives, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that we're able to apply that reciprocal fact of mercy, Lord God, where we receive it from you and we are willing to give it out, Lord. Show us those that we can be merciful to, Lord, in our lives, Father. And may it be a ripple effect into this world, Father, that we would believe in faith, Lord God, that even our kindness and love can be felt around this world, Father. We thank you. We thank you for this moment. Bless my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, both now until we meet again. Hallelujah. Go with God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.